Moncrief on News Talk.
Now, it is at the moment a golden period for photojournalism. For good and bad reasons, there's been the Olympics, of course. The now iconic picture of Donald Trump after he was shot, and closer to home, the Dublin riots. So was there a particular technique in how to capture a definitive image, particularly in that kind of ropey type situations? Niall Carson is a photojournalist with the PA Media Group. Afternoon, Niall.
Hello, Sean. How are you?
Not too
Very
bad.
Very nice to talk to you.
Good. In a situation like a riot or, you know, there's a lot of people, would most photojournalists have received a degree of training as to keep yourself safe, but also get close enough to get the pictures you want?
Well, yeah, like, for instance, the company I work for is a big sort of media organisation, so we do regular training every couple of years. But funny enough, a lot of the training is not necessarily, you know, first aid or protecting yourself. It's all about, like, analysing the wisdom of crowds and, you know, sensing the mood of a place. And, you know, it's quite detailed like that, you know, so... it means you can sort of be there, but not be in the middle of it when it, you know, gets really, really dangerous, you know. So
yeah,
we do a wee bit of training.
Yeah, because it would imagine, and now, I mean, and certainly say in terms of Coolock, just when there were peaceful protests going on there, and obviously the riots as well, but so many reporters who had been out there commented on, you know, they received a fair degree of hostility from the people there. Now, if you're just an ordinary writing journalist, you have to identify yourself, but you've got a camera, therefore you're immediately identifiable as a member of the press. Did you find that in Coolock?
Yeah, funny enough, well, when I turned up, I was at the on the first day on the Monday at Coolock, and things were quiet. You know, I could sense it was going to be, you know, a bit of aggravation because when I got there, the JCB had already been burned. So I knew that there was potential for violence, but actually, it was fine for most of the day. I was there from like 1 o'clock till about 9 o'clock at night, and I was able to work with my cameras and didn't have anything thrown at me or shouted at me. But then about 9:30, I saw some people emptying out two bottle banks for ammunition to throw at the guards, and just behind my neck, I just heard somebody saying, "Well, we'll get these two photographers first, and then we'll get the guards." You know,
oh,
and me and the other guy were standing beside each other, were just looking at these guys with like a mountain of glass bottles, you know, and we had to like literally beg the guards who were in like in a very tight cordon of, you know, riot police to let us through so we could get out of the area, you know, and like if they hadn't have. You know, we were definitely going to get the gear wrecked or at least bottles thrown at us, you know. So it can be frightening enough at times.
Yeah, but in that kind of situation, though, did that mean you couldn't actually, well, clearly you couldn't do your job properly?
Yeah. Well, I mean, a lot of times, you know, you have to just put the cameras away and use your phone. You know, the phones we have now are excellent, like, you know, and because we do video as well as pictures, you know, working for different outlets. So a lot of the times you just kind of have to blend in with the crowd and take pictures and, you know, you can't make yourself too obvious. And in fact, sometimes, you know, if there's a very tense situation, if you're running up into somebody's face with a wide angle lens, you're sort of inflaming the situation. You're annoying people. So, you know, you have to use your common sense as well. Like, you know, that's why the guards don't always go in, you know, with the riot gear, you know, as the first option.
Yeah.
You know, they, you know, and I think that's the way we have to be as well. We have to just assess the situation, like, you know.
Yeah.
And we, like I don't use any personal protective equipment or anything like that. I see people, you know, in London wearing gas masks and helmets and things, you know, like that's just really adding a level of aggression to the situation, you know. So you have to work with people and, you know, try and ingratiate yourself with them as well, like, you know, to show that you're just there to see what's happening, you know,
to try
and observe what's happening. You're not there to kind of, you know, annoy anybody, like, you know.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Who would? You want to be able to kind of do your job and be seen as neutral, I assume.
So, but yeah, I mean, like, it's mostly young people who who come at us. You know, it's the very rare older person who comes after the media, the things like this. And I'm assuming it's just something to do with the kind of the dying away of the print media. You know, young people don't read newspapers. They get their information from TikTok and Facebook, whatever, like, you know, or Twitter. So, you know, they don't have any association with the media, the press, as a sort of a proper part of a functioning democracy, like, you know, the way older people would have, you know.
Yeah.
Like, you know, in Northern Ireland, I'm from Belfast, like, we never had any trouble at marches or, like, riots or anything. You know, people never threw rocks at us. They kind of, and they allowed photographers to, you know, get in among them, because a lot of times they want to use our pictures as well to show, to illustrate, say, if they thought, they perceived the police were acting in a heavy-handed manner or whatever, like, you know. So it goes both ways.
Yes.
It's, you're not always there just to photograph, you know, people setting fire to cars or people's houses and stuff. You know, they want evidence to prove their point as well. So that's what we're there for, just to see what happens on the day, no matter who's involved. You know?
Yeah, and actually that's an interesting point that you touch upon there, that say in Coolock or in multiple occasions in the north, the story isn't just violence. The story is, you know, a protest or a conversation. A portion of it might be violence, but violence isn't all it's about. So was there always a challenge for you to capture, to try and get an image that encapsulates all of that rather than just, you know, because there's always a tendency to, you know, put the burning car. It's the most dramatic picture.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah, you're always trying to get people's posters and banners and things together, you know, or if it's a particular, like, for instance, during the water protests in Dublin, you know, I was always photographing older people because you don't normally see pensioners out protesting about stuff, you know. So I always thought that the pensioners, you know, with like the big water tap on their head, or, you know, people that got, who made a bit of effort to be there, I thought they really illustrated the kind of the demographic of the people who were there. It wasn't just kind of the normal, you know, sort of political protesters who turn up at most events, like, you know. So yeah, that's part of our job, is to illustrate all the different kind of people who turn up at the things.
And can you know, because if particularly in a situation where you have to take a lot of photographs quickly, can you go, oh, that's the one, I have it, or is it a matter of looking back afterwards?
You definitely know when you've taken a good picture. Absolutely. As soon as you take it, you know, and it's, sometimes it's the first picture you take at an event, and you can take more photographs for the rest of the day. And when you look at the papers the next day, the first one you sent was the one, you know. So, and for some reason, every single, you sent in 20 pictures, all 10 broadsheets and tabloids all use the same picture. Because, you know, sometimes it just, whatever it is, the lighting, the expression, the composition just works perfectly. And everybody seems to agree on it, you know, which is exactly, you know, like that one that Evan Vucci took of Donald Trump. You know, there was three or four exceptional photographers there, all really, you know, top award winning White House press pool people. And like, for, you know, they all did, I was saying, the girl from Getty, Anna Moneymaker, she took that tight picture of Trump's face with the blood running down his face. You know, that's what I probably would have been doing if I was there, you know, just trying to see how exactly he was injured.
Yeah.
But Evan, to step back and to go on a wide angle and to get that flag, you know, and it was just a complete bonus that then Trump stood up and threw the hand up in the air as well, like, made it into that, you know, just fantastic picture.
Yeah.
And I'm sure as soon as he took it, he knew himself, wow, that's just amazing. Like, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Because it almost looks like, it almost looks like it was staged. I mean, if you were a Republican operative,
was amazing.
Yeah, you would.